Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Join us online. Drop by freetalklive.com and enjoy the features that are waiting for you on the site. Once again, that's freetalklive.com. With you tonight, you've got Ian
Cantwell
and Mark.
We're going to talk about the Silk Road, the latest on the Ross Ulbricht trial from the courtroom in Manhattan today. That's still to come. But first, Greg is in Brooklyn. Greg, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, what's on your mind tonight, Greg?
All's well.
Hey, I wanted to talk about net neutrality and actually my perspective on things. I hope it's okay. I have
go right ahead.
Different. Cool. So my perspective on sort of politics is, in general, I don't see states, cities, and corporations as like special things. I don't think the government is special. I think everything is organizations. So the way that I would look at, you know, if I lived in a co-op building, and it had a management team, and they had, like, a no-pets policy. To me, that's just a smaller version of an organization that needs to be run somehow, and they appoint people to run it so that other members can go on with their lives. So to me, the questions are more about scale and how in touch the management team is with the people and so forth. So when it comes to net neutrality, you know, and I see that, like, a city has put together, dug up the streets and put together infrastructure to the phone lines, and so they have it, and Google is offering to work with that, versus like Time Warner, which was incentivized by the U.S. federal government. But to me, Time Warner is an organization. The city I live in is also an organization. Like, I want them to compete, and to me, it's not like, oh, the city's evil because it has a government and it uses violence. Like, Time Warner will also use violence. It just outsources it. So that's how I think about it.
When has Time Warner used violence? Just curious.
Anytime they ever filed a lawsuit.
Sure.
Anytime they ever called the police. Time where he uses violence, everybody uses violence
okay.
in some way or another.
I get what you're saying there.
We're protecting our property with threats of force
and
whatnot.
They're using the government to do their bidding for them, is what you're saying. They're using an agency of coercive force, an agency with a monopoly on coercive force, which would be the government.
I mean, look, people are going to use force in society. They either go through the government to do it or they do it themselves. I mean, if there's no government in place, then when somebody has some monetary dispute, and they're going to find some other way to extract those funds. And so I don't disagree with his premise. I think we've talked to Greg before, and, mm-hmm. you know, he brings up this point that, yeah, I mean, there's force being used
point,
regardless, right?
right?
So, look, I don't disagree with his premise, but, of course, the where he goes wrong with it is basically that the government goes and de facto takes over a continent and says, I own all of the people living within this continent, and they're completely out of touch with us, and they use violence to do all sorts of horrible, horrific things, and this is not anything even resembling any type of market-based dispute resolution.
Well, there I would have to correct you a little bit about my views. I don't think that the United States government owns all the land in the United States. I think that the United States is a federation of states, and those states are organizations themselves, which have their own governments, and those organizations own the land, because people decided to manage the land this way.
No. We did not decide to manage the land this way. Dead guys, hundreds of years ago, wrote a document without the consent of anybody who was being governed by the document, and now hundreds of years later, we're still referring to this document as the reason that these people in Washington, D.C. get to bully me around. Right? And this is a religious notion, right? We're praising ancient documents written by dead Christians. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, look, IBM's bylaws were written by dead people, too, but IBM has to have some way to run itself, right?
Right, but I don't have to work for IBM. I don't have to be at IBM. I have to be at my house, right? I have to own property in a given geographic area, and go search Google for the Jones Plantation, because that's the next thing you're going to tell me is that I can always leave. But if the Jones, go watch the Jones Plantation. It's a Larkin Rose video where he goes and he points out that, you know, there's a, he makes this analogy that there's a slave plantation, and Mr. Jones owns a whole bunch of slaves, and the slaves are kind of like getting sick of being slaves and not working very hard. So Mr. Jones goes out and hires a consultant. The consultant comes over and he says, guess what, slaves? You're free now. You can go if you want, but if you leave, the other plantations will enslave you. So you're free to be here. And, you know, and they go into this whole thing of like, you get to keep some portion of your labor, but of course, you know, we've got to pay for these expenses. So you've got to give, you know, the majority of it to Mr. Jones. And it's the exact same thing as the slavery that they were in before. At the end of the day, he's just calling them free. It's the same thing. The government is not the co-op at the condo. It's a completely different concept that it's forced people into.
Well, listen, I'm not talking about sharecropping here. I'm saying that nobody owes you, you know, to have an organization ready for you to run according to your terms. Like, whatever building you move into,
they owe me non-aggression. They owe me to not destroy my life from thousands of miles away.
It's a human, you know, courtesy. It's a courtesy that all humans should extend to one another, and that is to not hit each other and to not kill each other and stab each other. But the government guys don't do that. They won't extend that courtesy to us. They'll only not do those things as long as you jump through all of the hoops that they put up for you.
You realize you guys are not arguing to Greg's point. First off, poor Greg, you have thrown the red meat out to the tigers again, and instead of talking about net neutrality, you let
him
get...
I don't know what Greg's point is. He's just been rambling on.
His point is that the government's going to save us by taking over the Internet, and I don't even understand... I want to ask you an honest question, Greg, and I'm sorry to distract from your point. I really want to ask you an honest question, because this fascinates me. Why do you listen to Free Talk Live?
Well, I like to call into a radio show to test my ideas if there's an obvious flaw in them. You guys are the most incentivized to point it out, and I really take it seriously what you say.
I'm glad. Thank you very much. I just wanted to, you know, because it seems to me like I don't understand how somebody who believes that a government is capable or could be capable of doing anything positive could tolerate 15 minutes of this program. It just doesn't make any sense to me. This is like, to me, it's like if I was trying to, like, listen to Alan Combs or something like that, I'd blow my brains out.
I listen to the Alan Combs show.
Actually,
not too bad.
Decent. He's a decent host.
He's not bad. He's not a bad guy. Listen, I listen to Republicans, liberals, libertarians. I listen to Rothbard. I listen to Milton Friedman. I respect a lot. So, yeah, I listen to all kinds of viewpoints. But I have a question also. See, the reason that I take on this viewpoint is because it lets me make statements about the world and reason about the world in ways that are practical for me. So if I see an organization called a city, and my city is pretty effective at XYZ, you know, it already has the infrastructure, I don't think, like, oh, it's immoral, the city is way less moral than Time Warner. I look at it like, okay, you know, what system would give me the best outcomes? And morality, in my opinion, doesn't always enter into the equation, because I can't apply morality to complex systems. Like, is copyright moral or immoral? It's going to be, you can't run a society based on morality if people disagree and object what morality is. So I use outcomes, and basically I pick the organization I want to live in, because at the end of the day, any building I move into is going to have a policy I disagree with somewhere, and they're going to use guns, as you say, at the end of the day, to extract rents and everything else.
Yeah, I think that that's a powerful point, Greg, and I think that, you know, it really defeats a lot of the arguments. However, it doesn't defeat this one. And I put positive before is if you have either an option to allow someone to disassociate from your organization, and in this case, the government, or you don't. And if that person can't disassociate, that person's a slave. And if that person can disassociate, then your organization, the government, will never stay together. Because here's the reason. If I decide, you know, I'm on the outskirts of town, I make a great deal of money, my town is taxing me more than I wish to tax, I wish to dissociate from my town, and if my state's going to do it, then I wish to dissociate from my state. And if the federal government's going to do it, I wish to dissociate from the federal government. If I can create my own little country where I don't have to pay any taxes, then, and I'm a wealthy person, I'm going to do that. If I'm a poor person, I'm going to be like, please, I need all the extra free money I can get. So what you'll end up having is a lot of poor people banding together demanding free stuff, and a lot of rich people saying, go to hell.
I want to give Greg a chance to respond to that here in a moment. Your calls and thoughts are also welcome. 855-450-FREE-PLUS. The latest on the Ross Ulbricht trial happening in New York City. More on the way. 855-450-FREE. You take control of the airwaves here on Free Talk Live.
So the protection of life, liberty, and property is what the Free State Project is all about. But it's an effort to move 20,000 people who understand.
It's about demonstrating to the entire country
that, yeah, we can have a free market, a truly free market.
Making it just a freer, great place to live.
It's the world's largest voluntarist libertarian community, and it's only getting bigger.
That's amazing, to be able to move to a place where other people like passionately believe in being free and independent.
What the Free State Project is managing to do, though, is to put their money where their mouth is. It's physically getting up across the country and saying, let's go someplace and let's demonstrate the power of these ideas. There's a lot of kind of philosophy that surrounds liberty. There's a lot of thinking about it and talking about it. But here in New Hampshire, people are doing it.
101 Reasons Liberty Lives in New Hampshire, a documentary by Free State Project Early Movers. Watch it free at 101ReasonsFilm.com. 101ReasonsFilm.com.
This is Mark of Free Talk Live. We've been witnessing a meltdown of the economic engine that powers our country. With a printing press tethered to Washington bureaucrats and New York central bankers, how can we trust paper money? For years, I've been buying gold and silver from Midas Resources, and you should too. Call 877-357-9938 for a free book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, or go to gold.freetalklive.com. Again, 877-357-9938. 877-357-9938.
Farmers keep livestock lean and healthy with a mineral-rich diet. Then, before market, they cut off minerals, leaving them to crave high-calorie grains. If weight control is this easy, why prescribe surgery for humans? Introducing Youngevity. You could avoid 900 diseases by getting 90 essential nutrients from Youngevity. Check out 90 for Life at 2beyoungagain.com or call 855-79-YOUNG. That's 855-79-YOUNG or 2beyoungagain.com. Youngevity. It's all about saving money, getting healthy, and creating wealth.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Free Talk Live. You dial toll-free here and forget anything at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype as well. Our Skype username is lrn.fm, and we can hook you up with some precious metals like gold and silver.
Yeah, you can go get them at gold.freetalklive.com. The rates on precious metals here recently have been quite low. Surprisingly low. And it seems like it's time to get some. Load up. Go to gold.freetalklive.com. You'll get great prices, great service there. Gold.freetalklive.com. We've teamed up with Midas Resources. I've been doing business with them for years, many years,
mm-hmm.
And it's always been a good experience. Certainly, whenever you're dealing with customers, there will be an issue. And, you know, here and there over the years, I think there's been two instances where we've, somebody's complained to us, and we told Midas, and they got right on it. So I think you're going to be happy with the service over there at gold.freetalklive.com.
Well, you don't stay in business for 20-something years. I don't know how long. I know they've been around since GCN's been around at the very least, and they came around in the 1990s. So you don't stay in business for decades by getting it wrong, that's for sure. So go check them out, gold.freetalklive.com. As we continue here, we've got Greg on the line in New York, and Greg has called in with his theory that governments are nothing ultimately different from condominium associations, which, of course, breaks down right at the very get-go, considering that you actually have to consent to join a condominium association, and nobody I know has consented to be governed by these governments, by these states.
Well, yeah, before I answer, I just want to ask you guys a favor. I'm sorry, it's a pet peeve of mine. Just I heard on the radio sometimes, I don't know who it is, it says, like, go to hell. And I just, it really, like, it's like nails on a chalkboard for me, because it's more than just an expression.
You heard what?
As somebody, I forgot who.
Yeah, it's me, Mark. I said, what I said is the rich people, are going to tell the poor people in a society where people can disassociate themselves at will, they're going to tell them to go to hell.
And that's offensive
right.
to you?
Well, I mean, as long as it's not directed towards me or someone, I guess it's not offensive to me.
Did it sound like I said that? Because I apologize if that's how it made you feel. That was not my intention.
Did not tell that to Greg.
I wasn't telling Greg to go to hell. What I was doing was putting this imaginary situation where rich people can essentially disassociate themselves from governments and taxes at will, and they're going to tell those governments and those taxes to go to hell.
Right. Okay, well, let me just answer. I want to make it clear, because I've been calling in, as you know, from time to time. I just really want to make it clear. A government, to me, is a government of an organization. So, for example, the government of New York State, the organization is New York State. So, in other words, the government of New York State does not own anything. They manage the organization the same way it is a European Union. Management team does all sorts of, there's different bureaucrats.
So if New York State doesn't own things, then who does own the property in the land
control.
Known as New York State?
New York State owns. It's the organization is New York State.
Okay.
And they own everything in their geographic landmass, by your viewpoint, correct?
Well, so let's go back to your question. You're saying, in effect, let me find, a building where I can start my own sort of, let me move to a place and start my own thing, and I'm rich and I can afford it. I think you're taking a lot of things for granted. I'll illustrate. Let's say you're rich in bitcoins, okay? You have a lot of bitcoins.
Okay.
You say, you know what? I want to opt out of bitcoin economy. I want to start my own cryptocurrency somewhere else that's not governed by anything. I'm going to start my own thing. Say, okay, cool. The thing is, no one will accept you need network effect. If you, let me give one more example.
Sure, there's hundreds of these altcoins out there who are a bunch of guys who've tried to start their own Bitcoin competitor, and they've pretty much gone nowhere.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of Dogecoin. It's not worth anything.
Yeah. What's the point you're getting at there?
Exactly. So I'll illustrate with one more point, and I'll make the point. Here's another example. If you are on Facebook and you say, I don't like the way Facebook is running things, the privacy settings, I can't set them. They're constantly reverting to this. I just don't like the way they're running things and the ads. It's terrible. I'm going to start my own social network. I'm going to get this open source thing that was put together by five people. I'm going to run it. First of all, the software is going to be worse. The hosting is going to be worse. But also, The network effect will not be there. All your friends will be on Facebook. So just keep that in mind when you say, I want to opt out of my city or my town or something. Even if you could do that, eventually it'll just grow into another Facebook or another big organization. It'll
I would agree. So let's this imaginary situation, since we're going with it, let's say that I acquire 200 acres here in nearby to Keene, and I decide I want to secede. And, you know, since we have a voluntary situation here and governments aren't really agencies of force and violence, they say, well, you own it. I guess you're going to have to go, and you just pay us taxes for services, so we're going to have to let you go, but we're not going to give you any services. No public school for the kid that you have that you don't send to public school anyway, and we're not going to maintain your roads, which we don't maintain anyway, and we're not going to, you know, come and send our fire department to your house, and, you know, we're not going to do these things for you. So I say, awesome. I'm going to set up my solar power panels. I am going to have satellite internet, and I am going to be off the grid. And I'm going to invite other people who want to live like me. And I can assure you that there are a bunch of people in this area that would say, yes, I will buy 1 acre, 10 acres, whatever acre from you, and we can live in sort of this your little country, Markistan, that you've just created. And I ask you, can I, in your world, where you know, governments are much far more peaceful organizations, in your world, can I disassociate?
Well, governments are not organizations. I want to make that clear again. They're management teams of organizations.
Okay.
But you're saying you live in, let's take it smaller. Let's say you live in a city state, and I tell the city, I want this block to belong entirely to me. I have what's called de-simple property, which means I have sovereignty over it. The same way the English crown has sovereignty over some areas where they can kill people on it, and there's no jurisdiction. You know, you can do whatever you want. I don't think that's possible in a city, but you can certainly. There are places on the high seas. There are places on the earth that are still not administered by anyone, and no group has decided to, as you say, have a monopoly of force there. So yeah, you could totally go there, but you can't do it like in your own, you know, city, because that would disrupt the way the city is being run. Why would it let anybody to just opt out but still live there?
Right. Well, right. They won't let you opt out because they own you, and they will use violence against you if you don't do what they want you to do. I mean, that's why they're different from
the average organization. But that's really what it comes down to, Greg, is either you're a slave or you can opt out. It's one of those two things. So the city, the town, the municipality in which I live says, nope, that property's ours, and you're going to pay us taxes on it until you die, and then the next person who gets it is going to pay taxes on it, because in reality, that's just rent on that property. Yeah. And when you work, we're going to take a percentage of your labor because we own your body and soul. As a matter of fact, we're going to spin ad finitum. We're going to go $18 trillion in debt. We're not just going to spend your money for the rest of your life. We're going to spend your progeny's money before they're even alive.
Greg, thanks for the call tonight. Appreciate hearing from you. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE.
Those are your choices. Your choices are either you're owned, body and land by the government, or you're free to disassociate, and you're not free to disassociate. So that's the reality of the situation.
Yeah,
I think Greg makes some great points when he talks about homeowners associations and that we all use violence in order to protect our property and all those things. He makes great points.
Sure, there's a difference between defensive force and initiating aggression, which is what the government does. More coming up. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE, the Silk Road Trial on the way.
Genesis is defined as an origin, creation, or the beginning. Genesis Communications Network began with the mission of providing you with the kind of compelling content you're listening to now. And at GCNLive.com, you'll find a free archive of our nation's history, narrated by GCN hosts. Explore, share, and pass down to future generations. GCN is the future of talk radio. We should always strive to learn from our past. Together, we are GCNLive.com. GCN.
Mom, I can't do my math homework. I just don't get it. I hate math.
I've always tried to be a good mother, but when it came to Jamie's math, I was at a loss. Then a friend told me about Math Made Easy DVDs. Concepts are simplified in an easy way to follow and review, and students can learn at their own pace in the convenience of home. Listen, in the frustration, call Math Made Easy. Call now, 1-800-USA-MATH. That's 1-800-872-6284. Or visit us at mathmadeeasy.com.
this alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Hi, I'm George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM. I recently learned about a very unusual pharmacist who does not advocate use of prescription drugs, except in rare circumstances, say when powerful antibiotics are needed to kill a potentially lethal infection, such as pneumonia or staph. Instead, pharmacist Ben Fuchs from Boulder, Colorado, suggests always giving the body all the nutrients it needs to survive, thrive, escape illness, and live younger and longer. I don't think you will find anyone who knows more about how the body works and can explain it in such a delightful and entertaining way. Ben has recorded some very useful health nugget minutes that are available 24/7 online at criticalhealthnews.com. I invite you to log on to criticalhealthnews.com, listen to these pharmacist Ben health nuggets, and maybe even interact with Ben via chat or email. You're going to love Pharmacist Ben online at criticalhealthnews.com.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
It's Free Talk Live. You can dial in toll-free here, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can join us online, drop by freetalklive.com, and enjoy the features that are waiting for you there on the site. Once again, freetalklive.com. Check out Chris's website, christophercantwell.com. And also, Free Talk Live is brought to you by Victimless Crime Spree. You go to victimlesscrimespree.com, and you can watch Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree. You know Derek J. If you've listened to the show before, you've heard him on Monday nights. Well, he and I put together a movie along with Bo Davis, the editor, and it's a great 90-minute-long documentary. But if you're short on time, you can watch the hour-long version as well, all for free, over at victimlesscrimespree.com. Speaking of victimless crimes, the Silk Road case. Ross Ulbricht continued in court today in Manhattan. This is the most important case of the decade, likely, and maybe even, you know, our lifetimes. It's pretty important what's happening there. Ross Ulbricht is accused of being the administrator of the Silk Road, a.k.a. Dread Pirate Roberts. The Silk Road is an underground, or was an underground, marketplace that sold primarily drugs, but some other stuff like fake IDs and stuff like that. And they took him down in 2013, toward the, I guess it was October of 2013. They arrested Ross. They shut the site down. He's been waiting in prison ever since for his trial, which began last week. And I'm going to give you an update here. But does that kind of summarize? Did I miss something? Just kind of a brief summary of Ross Ulbricht there?
I think that brings him up to speed for whatever we got coming up.
Yeah, so it's the prosecution. They're still going. They've only been through one of their witnesses, I think, at this point, and that's that takes us to this. Oh, by the way, one other thing you should know is that the very first day in the trial, the attorney for Ross Ulbricht did admit that Ross created the site, so we know that much is the case. What they're saying is that he wasn't the administrator of the site the whole time, that he let the reins go to another person a few months in and then somehow was brought back in, like snookered into coming back to administer the site later, and then ultimately was framed for running the site.
And there's some speculation that Mr. Karpeles, I believe his name is the CEO of Mt. Gox, had been
Dread Pirate Roberts.
Been Dread Pirate Roberts.
But yesterday the judge told the jury to disregard most of the testimony about Karpeles.
Right, I had read that too. And it's so funny to me how hard they try to keep information out of the hands of jurors.
Oh, yeah.
It's so crazy that they're just like, well, no, you can't introduce this, you can't introduce that. Like, hey, jurors, go in that room while we conspire behind your backs, and then we'll bring you back in so that you can only receive the information that the government wants you to have, and this is how you're going to decide if this man should spend the rest of his life in prison for web hosting.
Silk Road, this is Andy Greenberg over at Wired.com. For more than 2.5 years online was an unprecedented online narcotics emporium. But according to a journal found on the laptop, allegedly, of its alleged creator, Ross Ulbricht, Ulbricht wanted it to be even more a brand that extended from communications tools to banking. In Ulbricht's trial Wednesday, prosecutor Timothy Howard read aloud from a journal that was allegedly found on the defendant's Samsung 700Z laptop, which was seized at the time of his arrest in San Francisco library in October of 2013. The journal, which goes back at least as far as 2010, seems to provide the most detailed look yet at Ulbricht's plans for his libertarian contraband market. And the journal reveals that before his arrest, Ulbricht had allegedly planned to create a Silk Road brand chat client software, currency exchange, and more. The young Texan had allegedly planned to expand the Silk Road into a brand, quote, that people can come to trust and rely on, unquote. According to a 2011 passage from the journal, quote, Silk Road chat, Silk Road exchange, Silk Road credit union, Silk Road market, Silk Road everything, unquote. Ulbricht's journal credits.
Merchandising.
Ulbricht's journal credits that ambition.
Is that baseball?
Yeah. In part to a mentor who he calls Variety Jones. He has helped me see the larger vision, Ulbricht writes. That roadmap for Silk Road was never detailed in public by the Dread Pirate Roberts, the pseudonymous figure who ran the market and often authored posts on the Silk Road user forums describing the market in revolutionary libertarian terms. But when I interviewed Roberts in 2013, he did allude to plans for a next phase of the site, including the sale of consumer electronics and possibly reintroducing the sale of firearms, which had been banned from the site. And as Ulbricht seems to write in his journal, secure communication tools. At the time of our interview, that last topic had become particularly relevant thanks to the first published leaks from NSA contractor Edward Snowden. Roberts told me at the time, quote, one other big development I'd like to mention, and that is coming whether we do it or not, is communications privacy. If it wasn't clear before, this is a quote I believe from either Silk Road or the Journal. Quote, if it wasn't clear before that the state is your enemy, it should be now that the biggest covert intelligence agency and the biggest government on the planet has been stealing nearly everyone's private communications. We have the technology right now to make this impossible for them. End-to-end encryption and Tor need to become standard for communications globally, just as SSL has. You must demand it from your communications providers. Again, if Silk Road can play a role in this transition, I'm more than happy to provide. That ends the quote. Ulbricht's journal, which the prosecution has only begun to dig into Ulbricht's trial, appears to provide a goldmine of evidence for his guilt. Prosecutor Howard read aloud a passage from 2010 that details growing the first 10 kilos of psychedelic mushrooms in a cabin in Bastrop, Texas, to serve as the Silk Road's first products, launching the site on the Anything Goes web host Freedom Hosting and making the site's first transactions. Ulbricht writes of his first sale, quote, I was so excited, I didn't know what to do with myself, unquote.
Wait a second. So Ross Ulbricht is in a journal saying that he grew 10 kilos of mushrooms to start the Silk Road?
That's correct. That's the allegation. If you believe this journal was actually written by Ross Ulbricht, that they allegedly found on his laptop.
You know, but they're all, you know, they're admitting to starting the website. The website, I presume that there's some evidence that the website was started off with a bunch of mushrooms being sold on it. Now, there's a journal allegedly written by him. This guy, I don't know what the strategy is here for this defense. He's, from what he's confessed to, he's going to spend the rest of his life in prison.
I agree. Well, I don't know if it's the rest of his life, but if they can avoid the kingpin charge, maybe he'll avoid the rest of his life in prison. And I think that's probably what they're going for, is to try to not, you know, get him convicted for the kingpin charge. But yeah, you're right.
I guess that's the idea here. But I mean, you know, you have a continuing criminal enterprise that goes on for a period of years. Even if he ducked out for a few years and then came back to it, you know, this is still
There's some things that people can learn, right? I mean, even if Ross Ulbricht goes to jail, something to take away from this, don't keep a journal of your exploits. If you're doing things that are illegal, just keep it in your head, okay? Don't write this stuff down. It's right. A terrible idea.
Well, writing it down isn't a great idea, especially if you're doing criminal exploits, and perhaps you should use some code or something like that. But If you've got to write things down for sort of record keeping.
Yeah, keep it in a TrueCrypt container.
Well, right. Record keeping is one thing, but to keep a journal seems completely unnecessary.
If you're his problem was living in the United States.
And it would have been a fascinating story. Like, you know, I would love to see this journal get, you know, published long after Ross Ulbricht had died and you know, have that information out there to, you know, have it told how the Silk Road was started. I think it would have been a fascinating story and perhaps a New York Times bestseller.
That's a good point.
But it's just a terrible tragedy that this is sitting there on his computer when he gets popped.
The journal goes on to describe recruiting the site's first staffers, described by the names SYG, Digital Alchemy, and Utah, as well as meeting his soon-to-be advisor, Variety Jones. Later, Ulbricht even describes partly confessing his Silk Road secret to someone named Jessica. Quote, I felt compelled to reveal myself to her. It was terrible, he writes. I told her I have secrets. I'm so stupid. Everyone knows I work on a Bitcoin exchange, Ulbricht adds. Everyone knows too much. Damn it. Unquote. Ulbricht's journal will likely serve as the centerpiece for the evidence the prosecution has assembled to prove the narcotics conspiracy, money laundering, counterfeiting, and other charges he faces. Aside from the journal, FBI computer scientist Thomas Kiernan on Wednesday showed pictures he took of Ulbricht's seized computer, showing that he was logged into Silk Road's administrator panel called Mastermind at the time of his arrest. Prosecutor Howard went on to lay out a maelstrom of evidence pulled from Ulbricht's laptop, including a private PGP or a PGP private key that had been used for signing messages as the Dread Pirate Roberts, HTML code that matched the code on the Silk Road website, and an application for economic citizenship in the Caribbean island of Dominica that had been filled out with Ulbricht's full details. So maybe he was trying to leave.
Wasn't trying hard enough.
Didn't get there fast enough. 855, 450, free. We'll talk more about the Silk Road case in moments. This is Free Talk Live.
Lose the winter blues and warm up with hot flooring deals from Lumber Liquidators. Speaking about hardwood, consider bamboo. We've got the number one brand, and we'll help you get it for less, like Strand Bamboo. It's twice as hard as oak, and for a limited time, only $1.99. Why pay as much as $4.99 for bamboo at other stores? We've got deals in over 70 styles for an incredible $1.79, plus pre-finished hardwood, laminate, and more for less than half what you'll pay somewhere else, and 18-month special financing. Now is the time to warm up your home with new floors, so visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office products, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supplies, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Shop.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, get a great deal, and a portion of your purchase goes to benefit Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon via shop.freetalklive.com.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercials.
commercials.
Just like the one you're listening to right now.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do.
When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop.
And no matter how big or small your business is,
we can help.
Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com
and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
You pick up the receiver with your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead. You finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you. You.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason. Going once. Twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait. No!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at gcnlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at gcnlive.com.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. We're talking about the alleged diary of one Ross Ulbricht, the man accused of being the operator of the Silk Road, who we know was the creator of the site, according to the defense's own admission in opening statements. The prosecution claiming they found that the FBI agents found many, many documents on the laptop that Ulbricht was using, which, you know, purportedly would have been an encrypted hard drive, but he was in the middle of using it when they arrested him, is the claim, and so they were able to access all of this information.
I've got a conspiracy theory.
Okay.
So I think that the Silk Road was a false flag. I think the government set up Silk Road, right? And then have, Ross Ulbricht is actually an actor, right? And this is just because they knew that eventually somebody would figure this out, right? So they just wanted to, you know, have an example to make out of somebody. Because the fact of the matter is, the defense in this case is ridiculous. That you're, I mean, how many years, even if they beat the RICO charge or the Kingpin charge, whatever it is, I mean, he's obviously facing, you know, many decades in prison. Yes. for drugs and money laundering and everything else. And this guy presumably was said that they presumably haven't offered him a deal, right? Because if he's just trying to beat the Kingpin charge, then he couldn't have been offered a deal at any point, right?
Yeah, what it seems said, unlikely.
What if they had told him, I mean, basically the situation, the reason he's at trial right now is simply because they didn't make him a plea offer,
and they can't,
like.
I mean, he can't roll on anybody, right?
Like, that's what happens. So the government will target a small percentage of the cases, I shouldn't say the government, the people there, the prosecutors, will target a small percentage of those that are charged with the intention of making their careers upon them. We can see the judge acting in this fashion. Mm-hmm. Likely the prosecutor feels the same way.
There's a bunch of
of prosecutors, but yeah.
Yeah, once they get their big break, they prosecute the right guy, they bring him down, then they get some higher position, or they get a judgeship, or they move on to elected office, or whatever it is that they do. But they build their careers based on this. They didn't offer him, I doubt very seriously they offered him a plea. I don't know, I wasn't there, but... this is the kind of case they
do. So they were basically like, look, you can plead guilty and spend the rest of your life in prison, or go to trial and spend the rest of your life in prison. Mm. And at this point, he's just planning on going to trial and spending the rest of his life in prison. I don't think that you can't confess to, they have to have known that they have this journal, right? The defense knows this before they go to trial, obviously, right? So he knows that they've got everything that he's written down about this in
whatever
his own
is.
Words,
yep.
And this is going to be brought in front of a jury.
On the other hand, though, Chris, I mean, the surprise on Thursday last week was the allegations about the MT Gox founder possibly being Dread Pirate Roberts for a time. So maybe the defense has a few tricks up their sleeve. I don't know. There's still several weeks to go in this trial. We're only through witness number two at this point.
And a dozen of them.
And
it certainly makes for a compelling story for him to finger the guy from Mt. Gox, which on another note, have you been following the Ian Freeman Googling Twitter account?
Every now and then.
He says, the other day you were Googling, did Ross Ulbricht finger Karpeles? And then the next search is, did Ross Ulbricht finger Karpeles sexually?
Ulbricht's defense attorneys, this is from Wired.com, have suggested they'll show that while Ulbricht did in fact create the Silk Road, he gave it up to the administrator who would become the Dread Pirate Roberts. Roberts, they argued to the jury in their opening statement, eventually lured Ulbricht back to serve as the perfect fall guy. The defense has yet to explain how a detailed journal of planning and managing the Silk Road ended up on Ulbricht's computer. In the meantime, however, much of that journal evidence reads like evidence of a massive operational security misjudgment on the part of an overconfident online drug lord. Quote, I imagine someday that I may have a story written about my life, and it would be good to have a detailed account of it. So yeah, he did want a book.
Yeah,
out of this.
There you go.
The prosecution also cited chat logs found on Ulbricht's computer.
He should have written that book on his computer and then encrypted it with TrueCrypt or whatever, that way they had to brute force break it.
The prosecution.
In this case, they just picked up the box and took it in and, you know, whatever.
The prosecution also cited chat logs found on his computer that seemed to show him communicating with Silk Road staffers, some of which were almost absurdly ironic. Quote, put yourself in the shoes of a prosecutor trying to build a case against you, Prosecutor Howard read aloud at one point, allegedly quoting Ulbricht. Quote, when you look at the chance of us getting caught, it's incredibly small. That's from Wired.com. And then Ars Technica and Business Insider also have some interesting excerpts and information here, jumping a little bit into the Ars article about today's testimony. They saw spreadsheets, the jury did, of Silk Road's finances, Ulbricht's personal tracking of his net worth, and just got a small glimpse of the years of TorChat chat logs with Silk Road administrators that were on the machine. In those chats, myself, the default name for a user of TorChat, made key executive decisions about how to run Silk Road. There were many decisions that had to be made, promotions and demotions, contests and castigations. The jury saw Silk Road organization charts, payroll documents, and daily logs tracking staff activities. They saw Ulbricht's old passport and driver's license, and they saw the scanned IDs, the scanned identifications of Silk Road staffers. Staffers had been promised that those IDs would be kept encrypted, and they were. But the encryption was broken down by Kiernan, the agent who found the keys on Ulbricht's machine.
Mm.
The computer also contained what appeared to be Ulbricht's personal journal going back to 2010, where he talks about the mushrooms and revealing the secrets, etc. Let's go to Nathan. Nathan's on the line in Texas via Skype. Hello, Nathan.
One second, Nathan. Yeah. One second. So I can't believe that somebody signed up to go work for the Silk Road and gave this guy their passport. I don't buy it.
Why not?
Because
they wanted the job.
Because it's a conspiracy. Because Ross Ulbricht is a false flag by the United States government in order to take away our civil liberties and shut down the Tor network forever.
Well, they wanted to, prove who they were. They wanted to prove they weren't, you know, cops or whatever or something like that. I guess
that doesn't prove anything. Cops have passports, Ross.
Sure. Nathan, go ahead. Do we have Nathan? Nathan going once? Nathan going twice? All right, maybe there's something wrong with our technical side of things. Apologies about that. Over on the Business Insider story, it says that he admitted in his journal, again, allegedly, that his relationship with his then-girlfriend, this was at the time of the very creation of the site where he was allegedly selling mushrooms, he said his relationship with his then-girlfriend, Julia, suffered as he tried to keep up with the site's rather unexpected popularity. On more than one occasion, Ulbricht refers to himself as DPR while chatting with Silk Road employees, employees who, incidentally, were hard to find. He wrote, quote, "Working for a criminal enterprise isn't attractive to everyone." He wrote this to one moderator he called Variety Jones in late 2011, according to the chat logs. VJ, according to the journal entries, turned out to be something of a mentor, or the devil on Ulbricht's shoulder, depending on how you look at it. Ulbricht said in his journal that he was extremely inexperienced in web hosting when he first launched Silk Road. He knew basic coding and HTML, but often failed to recognize some of the site's early flaws, he wrote. As the first to point out a major security hole in Silk Road, VJ gained Ulbricht's trust early on. One journal entry reveals just how much VJ influenced Ulbricht's perception of Silk Road. Ulbricht allegedly wrote, quote, in December of 2011, "VJ has helped me to see a larger vision, a brand that people come to trust and rally behind. He even envisioned the creation of a Silk Road credit union one day." Ulbricht's experiment soon became his life's work. In his journal, he recalled turning down party invitations and camping trips for fear of being away from the Silk Road for too long. Hmm. Indeed, his roommates in San Francisco have said they rarely, if ever, saw him out of the house and away from his computer. "I imagine that I someday may have a story written about my life," he says, "so I've been thinking about what's next for me. I don't want to go backwards. I need to find a place I can work from that is off the beaten path." In later chat, Ulbricht speaks with a potential employee who expresses reservations about becoming part of the Silk Road team out of fear of getting caught. Ulbricht assures him that this fear, while unrelenting, is not the worst part about the job. He writes, quote, "The biggest con to this job is having to keep your work a secret," unquote. In opening statements, the defense claimed that he created the Silk Road as an economic experiment and ultimately left the site, as we've explained. So that's some of the latest from the trial today. Lots of documents being revealed from, allegedly, from Ulbricht's laptop. And these are going to be hard for the defense. I mean, what can they say? That the feds made this journal up and planted it there, or that somehow the other Dread Pirate Roberts planted it there? I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
It would seem to me, and I imagine we'll hear more of it in the future, but if he kept the journal throughout the thing, then there's going to be some entry in that journal that he punched out of the site, right? He's going to say, hey, so on this day, I decided to back out and whatever.
Or he didn't.
Either, one of the two things is going to happen. Either the defense's entire premise is going to be flushed down the toilet, and Ross is going to go to prison for the rest of his life, or they're going to find out that, hey, here's the entry where he punched out, and here's the entry where he came back in.
I wonder if Ross told his defense attorneys about this diary of his.
Oh, well, they found out during discovery, I'm sure, at the very least.
Let's hope so.
We're out of time tonight. Well, we'll be back tomorrow to continue to follow the Silk Road trial and whatever you want to talk about here on Free Talk Live. Join us online in the meantime at freetalklive.com. Also, ChristopherCantwell.com. Check that out.
I'm a mid-century architectural wonder, a house made entirely of glass. So you can imagine my fright when giant pieces of hail started falling from the sky. Did I mention I'm made entirely of glass? Everyone was running here, running there, trying to get out of the house, but what am I to do? I am the house.
Your house can't protect itself. That's why the Geico Insurance Agency helps make it easy to switch and save on homeowners insurance. You could save even more when you combine your homeowners with an existing auto insurance policy. Call Geico, go to geico.com, or visit your local office.
Kay Oliver is part of the Tweyambe Women's Group in Jinja, Uganda. She gets old clothes, fixes them up, washes them, and then sells them at the Jinja Market. She was quite happy with her success at her business, but realized that a sewing machine would really help her make more money to take care of her two kids. Free Talk Live helped her get that sewing machine. You can help us help more people by getting your coffee through coffee.freetalklive.com. Make a difference, one cup at a time. Get a free pound, try out the subscription, cancel at any time, coffee.freetalklive.com.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your
your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes heart and body extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.